This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Michael Bennett, Senator of Colorado, is still in the race for the Democratic nomination for president. He set his sights on New Hampshire and he's going all in. He is polling a bit low and he hasn't been on the debate stage since July. But on the other hand, he's outlasted some other previous Democratic hopefuls who had a lot more name recognition and a lot more money. Remember when Representative Beto O'Rourke and California Senator Kamala Harris were in the race? But the question now is Michael Bennett's moderate message being crowded out by other candidates with a lot more name recognition, again, and money, like Senator Amy Klobuchar or Mayor Pete Buttigieg or Vice President Joe Biden? So we're going to talk to Senator Bennett about this right now. And what's your question for him? Find us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. And Colorado Senator Michael Bennett joins us now. Senator Bennett, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, give us the state of the campaign right now. How's it going and where are you focusing your efforts?
Well, we're focusing our efforts in New Hampshire, although we've got a great team in Iowa that's working hard there as well. I built my campaign to last until people were actually starting to make up their mind and until people actually started to vote. And what I'd say is the state of the campaign is more open today than it was 6 weeks ago, than it was 6 months ago. And then it was a year ago. People in these early states, quite rightly, are trying to figure out who the right candidate is to beat Donald Trump. And I think their assessment of the frontrunners is that they're worried that they won't be able to beat Donald Trump. And that's why I've remained in the race. I think it's critical for us to nominate somebody who can win in purple states and beat Donald Trump and make him a one-term president.
So tell me more than about what you're hearing specifically, since you're all in on New Hampshire, what you're hearing from those primary voters about how deep that concern is.
It's very, very deep. I mean, you know, I wish Joe Biden well in everything that he does. I think he's done an amazing amount of good work for this country. But I think what I'm hearing in New Hampshire is people are ready for a new generation of leadership. I think they are concerned that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren's ideological commitments are ones that won't travel very well from the East Coast. Every day that passes, they're actually more undecided voters. So we're going to make a big push here. We're going to try to raise some money this month and get it on air in New Hampshire. And in the meantime, I'm going to do 50 town halls in the hope that I might be able to catch on the way my friend John McCain and others have done in New Hampshire in the past.
So I wonder then, Senator Bennett, if you'd be willing to be vocally critical of the Democratic, the party as a whole and how it structures the primary season, and also say the rules around who makes it to a debate stage. Because if what you're saying is fundamentally true, that what voters are truly concerned about is who Democratic voters are concerned about is who could beat the president. And yet the whole system in the primaries seems to be built around producing a candidate or a nominee that may not be that person. Don't you have a fundamental problem?
There's no question about it. I mean, first of all, what I am saying is fundamentally true. And I'm my daughter, Caroline, said to me once, Dad, when I was thinking about running for president, she said, if you run and tell the truth and you lose, no one can fault you for it. And I said, well, that's good, Caroline, because there's really no other reason for me to run. And I don't think there's any other way for me to win. I think it does point up how incredibly ridiculous and counterproductive the DNC debate rules used to be. I used to complain about them, and I thought I was completely self-serving when I was complaining about them. Now I think this, you know, for the sake of the party, and for the country, they should change the rules that they have. And this is preposterous. And ask any reporter who's covering New Hampshire or Iowa, and they'll tell you what I just said, which is people have not made up their minds. In fact, they're farther away from making up their minds today than they have been, which is why the idea that the DNC would prematurely cleave people off the debate stage, make it harder for them to raise money if they're not celebrity candidates, I think in the end doesn't serve the party terribly well. I spent a lot of the weekend on airplanes reading a copy of Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail, the Hunter S. Thompson account of the 72 election, which a friend of mine gave me. And it's like we can't learn a lesson, the same lesson over and over again, which is these races are completely uncertain until voters go to the voting booths. And I think with Donald Trump in the White House, it only heightens the uncertainty.
Interesting. Well, Senator Bennett, though, I'm wondering, obviously you see yourself as quite a different candidate from Senator Elizabeth Warren or Senator Bernie Sanders. But how would you say you differentiate yourself and what you might offer from Senator Amy Klobuchar or Mayor Pete Buttigieg?
Well, I think with Mayor Pete, we just have vastly different experience. I mean, we both started out at the local level, but my school district had a budget that was three times the size of Mayor Pete's town. And I've been in the Senate for 10 years since then, which is enough time to understand how to get some things done, but also what the nature of the corruption in Washington really is and what we really have to do to overcome it as a country. You know, we're not going to fix this in Washington. Washington's not going to fix itself. We have to build a constituency for change in this country to address issues like climate change and close over a broken Washington, D.C. I think that's going to be very hard for somebody from the outside to understand, or somebody with that, you know, little experience in national politics. I think with Amy, we just have different experiences before coming to the Senate. Our politics are similar, but I was a school superintendent. She was, and also a lawyer. She was a prosecuting attorney in Minnesota. I think the experience of being a superintendent of a major urban school district in this country, 95,000 kids, most of whom are kids of color, most of whom are kids living in poverty, gives a person a sense of the profound injustice that exists in our society today. That this is not a political game for most people that live in the country. That we're living at a time when we've had 50 years of economic immobility for most people in the United States, so they can't afford some combination of housing, healthcare, higher education, or early childhood education. For the parents that I once worked for in the Denver Public Schools, you know, they're killing themselves. And no matter what they do, they cannot get their kids out of poverty. So I think I just have a vastly different set of experiences than the people that are running, and therefore a vastly different perspective about what the nature of the kind of, as I said earlier, the corruption in our system and what we have to do to overcome it. And by the way, this includes two wars that we have fought with for the last 20 years with absolutely no accountability to the American people, which have been futile exercises and should never have been started or never lasted 20 years and never, I hope, will never be repeated.
Well, no accountability. And as you well know, according to the Washington Post's stunning series of investigative pieces, a campaign of misleading and misinformation, outright lies to the American people.
It's absolutely staggering when you read. I read all six of those articles over the weekend. And, you know, people say, well, why have people lost faith in our government? I mean, my God. You know, when you see something like that, there's a reason why people have lost faith. And there's a reason why they decided to send a reality TV star to Washington to blow the place up. And the question before us now is whether that's good enough for the country. Is that good enough for our kids and our grandkids and America's place in the world? I don't think it is, which is why we have to do everything we can to make this guy a one-term president, figure out how to inject some accountability back into our systems, overcome the special interests, and learn how to govern our country again. That's what we have to do.
Well, had you been on the debate stage for the past several Democratic debates, folks would have had a chance to see sort of how you differentiate yourself or more specifics about your particular plans and policies should you become the nominee here. So let me just ask you, what's your take on sort of the big sweeping bold ideas or the plans, say, coming from Senator Warren, Senator Sanders about Medicare for all?
Right. I actually think, and people can go to michaelbennett.com and read my plans, I think that my plans cohere in a way that their plans don't. When I think about 10 years of town halls in Colorado, which by the way is a state that's exactly a third Democratic and a third Republican and a third Independent, I think about people, you know, saying we can't afford a middle class life because we can't afford housing, health care, higher education or early childhood education. That's what my plans are focused on. You know, the American Family Act, which I wrote with Sherrod Brown several years ago, that bill alone would cut childhood poverty by 40% in 1 year. It would end $2 a day poverty for kids living in America, which is a disgrace that this country persists in. You know, I'd rather cut childhood poverty in 1 year than spend the next 10 years fighting a losing battle for Medicare for all. You know, I understand Bernie and Elizabeth's Elizabeth's ideological commitment is much more recent to this than Bernie's. But Bernie has been committed to this since 1970, and I understand and respect his ideological commitment to it. I do not want to spend the next 10 years fighting a losing battle for Medicare for all when we could dramatically reduce childhood poverty in this country, when we could start to work to improve our education system so that we're actually liberating kids from their economic circumstances instead of shackling to them, which is what we're doing today, which is why Bernie's promise and Elizabeth's promise of free college is really so irrelevant. What we need in this country is free preschool, not free college, and we got to figure out how to take the 70% of kids who graduate from high school and never can earn anything but the minimum wage and put them in the position to earn a living wage. And I'd like to spend the next 10 years addressing climate change. Mm. And those things are not going to be able to be addressed if we continue to lose elections to climate deniers and we continue to lose elections in purple states. I do not believe my set of proposals are a moderate set of proposals. I think they're an incredibly progressive set of proposals that can unite not just the Democratic base, but some of the 9 million people that voted twice for Barack Obama and once for Donald Trump. And I think that's the big difference between having run in Colorado twice and having run in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts or having run in Vermont.
Mm. Well, we got a comment here on Facebook. Justin Barney says, I actually like Senator Bennett. His proposal of lowering the age of Medicare eligibility to 50 and increasing subsidies to the Affordable Care Act is something that a Democratic-controlled Congress could pass purely through reconciliation. What do you think about that?
Well, I appreciate Justin saying he actually likes me. Sometimes it sounded like he might be surprised by that. But look, we've got – there are a number of ways to skin the cat on universal coverage that don't require us to make private insurance illegal in the country. And by the way, I'm not carrying a brief for the private insurance companies. If Bernie were here, he might say, Michael, why are you defending the private insurance companies? I'm not. I could care less. I'm defending the need to get to universal health care in this country as quickly as we can. And I do not think you're going to persuade the American people to give up their choice of buying private insurance if they want it. 90% of people in Massachusetts, I saw in a recent poll, don't want to give up that choice. And they certainly don't want to give it up for the privilege of paying $31 trillion in new taxes, which is what Bernie and Elizabeth proposed, a modified version of that, have proposed. I think we could cover everybody in America in 3 years with my plan called Medicare X, which is a public option that would be available to everybody, starting in rural areas and then moving over to everybody else over the course of 3 years. And one thing we haven't talked about much on the debate stage or anything else is the cost of health care, which, frankly, is the real problem in America. And the fact that we're spending twice as much as any other industrialized country in the world is spending and getting a worse result should suggest to us there's a huge opportunity here for us to improve the lives of the American people and put us in the position of having the federal government spend less money on health care and more money on the next generation of Americans who have been completely shortchanged over the last 30 years.
Mm. Well, just as a point here, Senator Bennett, as you well know, Senator Warren would say, you mentioned all the major new taxes that would come with a Medicare for all plan. Her camp has been saying very clearly, and her plan says very clearly, those costs would be mitigated by the overall reduced cost that would be in the laps of the average American family, that those costs would be radically reduced. So
I agree that she says that, but empty promises are not going to get us where we need to be. All that's going to create is more cynicism about our political system when that's what we need the least.
Mm. Let's just take a quick call here.
And by the way, you just need to ask the voters of Vermont. I mean, they tried to pass it up there, Bernie's home state, and they rejected it because they were not going to pay a 10% increase in taxes. The businesses weren't going to pay an 11% increase in taxes. It's the reason it was rejected in Colorado 80-20 and why California couldn't even get it started. So I'm unpersuaded by her math.
Okay. Well,
but not unpersuaded at the need for us to get to universal health care, which we desperately have to do.
I was going to go to a call here, but I'll just borrow the caller Jim's question because we're running out of time here. But Jim wants to know.
I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. Jim wants to know, what's your plan for attacking the national debt?
It's a great question. And I think it's something that we've heard incredibly small amounts from. We have got to stop doing what we're doing, first of all. So since 2001, we've borrowed $5 trillion from the Chinese for the privilege of giving the richest people in America tax cuts. That is absurd. And all that's done is increase the income inequality that we've had. We have spent $5.6 trillion on 20 years of wars in the Middle East, which we now learn from the war college in the case of Iraq was a war that only Iran won. In the case of Afghanistan, has been a disaster from beginning to end. And we need to stop doing that. We've got to reduce the health care costs in this country because, as I said, we're spending twice as much as any other industrialized country in the world. I think if we start to do those things, we can begin to dig ourselves out of a very unfortunate situation we're in. There are people in this campaign who are saying that deficits don't matter. You know, I disagree with that. We're at 0% interest rates. When they go back to a normal level of like 4%, we're going to be spending all our money on interest and not, as I said earlier, on the next generation. And the next generation should be furious with us because we've got $22 trillion of debt on the balance sheet, and our investment in them has been cut by 35% since Ronald Reagan was president. It's the worst of all worlds for them.
We've got to
address it.
We've got literally 30 seconds to go. I just want to quickly ask you, you've talked about John McCain going all in New Hampshire. Gary Hart famously did that too, but so did John Huntsman, and he put everything in New Hampshire, and he couldn't do better than third. So, you know, it's not a guarantee.
Nothing's a guarantee. Hope springs eternal. I hope people will come out to my town halls.
Well,
thanks, Meghna.
Senator Michael Bennett, 2020 presidential, Democratic presidential candidate and senator from Colorado as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.